Hello, internet, and welcome back to another episode of JL Plays, the podcast with the host screaming into the ether, hoping someone will hear him. Playing on your favorite podcast of choice, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and even iTunes, and also on Patreon. With exclusive content like the minisodes and early access to upcoming episodes. Like this one right now that you're listening to. And so, what will I be talking about this week? Well, this week it's about Amazon Prime's The Paper Girls, or just Paper Girls. And also, The Sandman on Netflix. And also on Netflix, Dota, Dragon's Blood, Season 3, and A Model Family, a Korean drama. And don't forget that you can always let me know what you think, what I got wrong, what I got right, how do you feel about the episode or the shows that I'm talking about, what did I miss in general, or on Twitter at jlplace78, or by email at jlplacepodcast@gmail.com. And if you're listening on Patreon, just leave it in the comments below this episode. But first, some news. And a quick news thing that I want to talk about is the fact that just like last time when I was talking about HBO Max canceling Batgirl, Supergirl, and a bunch of other shows, they just announced that they also canceled Young Justice. Now, this to me wasn't a big loss considering the direction that they took it. That was disappointing, and to say the least, the last season of Young Justice. But I was hoping they would get another season to correct the ship, you know, stir it the right way, because I wanted to see where the story was going. And unfortunately, because they decided to play around with just having a slow burn on it, on the entire season, was just a slow burn for the last 2 years. These last two seasons was extremely just a slow burn that was so slow that it just got boring at times. The show got canceled. And yeah, that's an unfortunate, because I really wanted them to go back to Young Justice season 1 and 2. That pacing, that awesomeness. But yeah, that's my news for this week. Young Justice just got canceled on HBO Max. Another one bites the dust. How many more will we have to watch just get destroyed? But with that out the way, let me get to a quick topic of Dota, Dragon's Blood, Season 3.
Terrorblade, you've chosen to die here. We come to the end of your story. But only the beginning of mine.
That's not how this story ends.
This is how every story ends. In death.
That was a quick snippet of Dota Season 3 on Netflix. Quick synopsis for this. After encounters with a dragon and a princess on her own mission, a dragonite becomes embroiled in events larger than he could ever have imagined. And yeah, that's a quick synopsis for it. This is an animated series on Netflix, and quite frankly, I don't know if we're going to get a part 4 or not, but this ended. It ended pretty well, ended pretty good, if there isn't, because Netflix also has shut down their animation studio. This came earlier in the year, but yeah, they announced it earlier in the year that the animation studio was shutting down, so I don't know if there's another season coming for this or what. But this was another good outing for the Dota series in the Dota franchise. The story continues from the first two seasons. It's just now that we are in this new world that was created by the elf mage from season 2, and the princess finally remembers who she is from that previous life. And this takes her adventure trying to bring back that world to what it used to be. Or I should say bring back the world to what it used to be. Because this world itself isn't perfect in general. because there's so many things wrong with it, because and it's starting to fall apart. Their world, their, you know, their home world is going to be destroyed by the moon, by the catastrophic event that happened in the moon, and by his doing of remaking it using the world engine. And this just continues that story. And at the end, it goes full circle. And I think that that's very interesting. As a, if this is where it ends, it is quite interesting and very good, actually, as an ending point. But if it doesn't, it's a great also kickoff point to continue a new adventure and see where these characters end up going. But, and that's all I really have to say about it. It's an enjoyable series. It's definitely not for children. It's dull. There's blood. There's partial nudity. So watch it on your own pace if you're into animations. And give it a shot if you haven't watched it. It's definitely a great adventure and a great fantasy tale. So with that little tidbit out the way, let's get right into it with A Model Family.
Thunder. 질병, 사고, 그 때문에 많은 사람들이 죽어나가지만 사실 그보다 더 많은 사람들이 돈 때문에 죽는다.
현우 오빠 맞니? 당장 수술비 채워놔.
가족들 진짜 죽게 생겼는데 뭐?
돈이 안 왔댄다.
찾아야죠.
돈이 지금 여기 있고 그래서 광수리가 뭉개고 있는 거야.
무슨 일 있으세요?
아니요. 지금부터 일이 생기지.
Okay, that was a quick snippet of A Modern Family on Netflix, starring Jung-woo, Park Hee-sun, Yoon Ji-so, Park Ji-young, Choi Min-sung, Kim Song-ho, and Oh Kwang-rok, just to name some of this amazing cast. And a quick synopsis for this is, After unwittingly stealing money from a cartel, a cash-strapped professor finds the only way to save his broken family is by working as a drug courier. And yeah, this series is an extremely slow burn because it is methodical on the pacing. It is really, really methodical. Like, honestly, the pacing of this kind of drives you mad because you're like, what is, why is this taking so long? What the hell is happening? And especially when it comes to the professor himself, he pissed me off so bad. Like, I had no sympathies for what happens to this man because everything that happens to him is his own fault. From getting involved with the drug cartel and getting involved with all the criminals, and everything that's happened to him is literally all his fault. And when something is your fault in a series, I cannot feel sympathy for you. And I honestly did not feel any sympathy for this man whatsoever throughout the series. None. It just pissed me off. I felt sympathy for his wife, for his kids, except for the daughter. The daughter was just a really little bitchy ass teenage spoiled brat. That's the best way I can describe her. She has her moments of, you know, later on, like, you know, you kind of understand her feelings, but not really. She's just sick of her mother being the way she is. She's upset with the whole situation of what's going on with her brother. Her brother's extremely ill. He needs a heart transplant, I believe. And he's constantly getting put into the hospital because of his heart problems. And every time they think they have a donor, they find out it's not a full match. So now he has to go back on the waiting list. You know, heartbreaking. And the only one that acts like an adult in this entire family is the little boy, because he's living his life. He's enjoying everything that happens to him. He's enjoying every moment that he sees because he feels like there's no tomorrow for him. He doesn't know when he's going to die. He doesn't know, you know, if he's ever going to get a transplant. So he sees everything a little bit more clearer. Again, he's the only one I actually feel sorry for in this whole family. Everybody else just irritates me and just feel no sympathy for. whatsoever. Like, if you're going to be that shitty of a person and you're going to be that greedy of a person, you deserve everything that happens to you. Not to mention the police officers and how everything happens there. Like, I'll tell you straight off the bat, you'll see it in the trailer if you watch the trailer for this, and it's part of the first episode. It pretty much like this. The series starts with the main actor, Jang Woo, parked, you know, like, I guess having like a breakdown or something in the middle of the road. A car bumps into him in the back, and he goes, checks out what it is, and he sees that the guy is freaking hurt, injured. He's all bloodied up. And next, you know, he sees a bunch of, like a duffel bag filled with money in the back seat. And he sees that the driver is dead, right? And then what he does is, what does he decide to do? He decides to steal the money, take everything, put it in the duffel bag, and try to, like, nobody's going to come looking for it. Nobody's going to know what's happening. Nobody's going to know it's missing, you know, whatever. That type of thing. Yeah, he takes it. Then he decides to do this. Then he takes the body and that car. He dumps the car in this little, I don't know, shed or like little farm, abandoned farm or whatever. Then he takes the guy's body that was in the car and buries it in his backyard. Like, if you're listening to me describe this, you're like, this guy's a freaking idiot. Like, why do you see all that money? You see this guy's dead, bloodied up. Why do you think that nobody's going to come for that money? Right? And then there's a car that passes by at the same time when he's trying to grab all the money, put it in the duffel bag. There's a car that passes by slowly and just keeps driving. And he's just standing there freaking out. Like, this guy gave no thoughts to nothing. And quite frankly, I understand his desperation. He's desperate because he doesn't have enough money to pay for the surgery for his son. You find out that that's the reason why he really took the money, is because he doesn't have the money to pay for the surgery for his son. But at the same time, my point of view is like, all right, leave that shit there, call the police, right? But no, they find out who he is. And all these hijinks ensued. All this plotting comes into play. The police are involved. The police are now investigating this, you know, thing, because they're drug cartels and you need to watch out for them. So I'm not going to tell you anymore. I think this series is extremely well done. Again, the pacing of it is extremely slow. Again, it's frustrating for me because I wanted it, you know, root for somebody here. But at the same time, because all the mistakes, everything that happened to this guy and his family, as far as the cartel's concerned, and the situation that he literally put himself in, it's literally all his fault. Because of that, I feel no sympathy for that man. But yeah, overall, it is very well written. I'll give it that. It is extremely well written. And even ends with the backstabbing and all that. It ends extremely well. And there might be a season 2. Because this is a Netflix series. So there might be a season 2 for this. But overall, again, it's enjoyable. Check it out if you haven't. Again, it will have a link for you in the show notes. And now, The Sandman.
What are you doing here, Etty?
He's coming, isn't he?
Yeah.
Morpheus. The Aneuromancer.
You know The Sandman.
He's a fairy story, Etty.
The realm. They are not as you left them.
With you gone, the realm began to decay and crumble.
You will remind them.
I am the king of dreams, ruler of the nightmare realm.
He's free. He's out of his cage.
Okay, that was a quick trailer for The Sandman. Tom Sturridge and Patton Oswalt, just to name a few of these cast members. And a quick synopsis for this is, when the Lord and eternal ruler of dreams is summoned by a mortal man, he is captured and imprisoned for decades. Once finally free from captivity, Morpheus, also known as Dream, realizes that this marks only the beginning of his misfortune. The ruler of dreams must rebuild his kingdom, which has fallen apart during his absence. Now, this is based on the comic series from the 80s by the same name, The Sandman. And it's quite frankly, I've never read it. I never heard of it until a few years ago when people really started talking about major comic books that you must read and whatnot. And this was one of the, if not the number one comic to read, or even graphic novel, because it's really a graphic novel. And quite frankly, it is, and it's breathtakingly beautiful. This series is jaw-dropping. The only negative thing I have to say about this is the first episode. The first episode is like eating your vegetables that you don't like, right? If you're a little kid, you remember eating those, you know, vegetables that you don't like eating at all, and you have to eat them. That's what the first episode is, because it's pure setup for the rest of the series. And yes, it is extremely well done. The series is extremely beautiful. I'm pretty sure if you've seen anything or seen reviews for this on other platforms, you know that people are loving this, and I'm no different. I'm actually rewatching it now again after watching the whole series, because I know I missed some stuff, and quite frankly, yeah, I missed a lot. There was a lot of details that I missed that I didn't notice the first time, and it is definitely worth a rewatch just for that alone. Because you will not catch everything. You will not see everything the first time around. And this series is definitely worth that time. Now, I can't say too much about it other than that, again, I don't know much about the comic books. I've never read them. All I know is the series. And I watched the synopsis telling of it on Comic Pop on YouTube. They did a great job telling you the differences or the synopsis of the comic book. Once you watch the series and then you go watch that, you realize, oh, they changed a lot, but they kept a lot of it the same also. They just changed some of the things, I guess, to keep it more, you know, TV friendly, more viewer friendly than the original one. Because the original one is dark and this is extremely dark. And I have episodes that I truly adore in this. And they're all back to back as episode. The episodes are 4, 5, and 6. Those three episodes are my favorite episodes of the entire series, of just TV in general, on how well they're done and how amazing is their individual messages for each episode. Because each episode did have their own message, especially episode 6, the sound of her wings. The sound of her wings was really brilliant, how it started and how it ends. And then 24/7, that's the episode 5, the diner episode, and A Hope in Hell is number 4. You just have to really watch all those just for the beauty of them. Not to mention, yeah, it's just one of those series that has those golden gems of just beautiful storytelling. And this is absolutely beautiful storytelling from beginning to end. There's certain episodes that just didn't vibe with me because I just didn't care for them. Like the Dollhouse episode towards the ending with the whole drag queen and the whole singing stuff. But other than that, overall, it's an enjoyable, great series. I think you guys really need to watch it if you haven't already. And if you have, go watch it again, because you definitely miss some things like I did. And guaranteed, you probably think you didn't, but if you think you didn't, it means you did. So yeah, give it another go, and I promise you that you will not be disappointed. And pay attention to the screen and not your phone. Unless you're watching it on your phone, then yeah. Pay attention to that screen. But yeah, definitely to pay attention to it. It's definitely worth, again, my favorite episodes are 4, 5, and 6. And I haven't seen something that powerful in that movie in a long time. So yeah, that's my thoughts on The Sandman on Netflix. Beautiful storytelling. Wonderful, wonderful thing to watch. If you haven't given it a shot, give it a shot now. And before we go to the main event, don't forget that you can let me know what you think of anything I spoke about on Twitter at JLPlays78 or by email at JLPlaysPodcast@gmail.com. And if you're on Patreon, you can leave your comments in the comment section. And with that, let's move on to the main event, which is Paper Girls on Amazon Prime Video.
Hey! What's your name?
Aaron.
Tiff. So you're Mac, right?
You must be the Brandman kid.
KJ. All right, Big Mac. Let's go. What is that?
Why does the sky look like that?
Move, move, move! Let's get out of here! Hey! Who's there?
What are you doing in my house?
What are you doing in my house?
I live here.
No, I live here.
That's her.
Holy shit.
If that really is future you, maybe she can call someone.
Who's she gonna call?
Time travel 911?
Do you want to call 911?
Oh, good lord, there are future robots.
We need help.
Your girls traveled out of your time. That's a capital offense. You're targets now.
It's nice knowing you, I guess.
We can't just give up.
You don't know who you're about to become.
You have no idea what's at stake here.
Yeah. It's the fate of humanity. I get it. We're paper girls, so we stick together.
Okay, that was a quick trailer for Paper Girls on Amazon Prime Video, starring Cameron Jones, Riley Lai Lynette, Sophia Roninsky, Fina Starza, and Adina Porter. And a quick synopsis for this is, in 1988, four newspaper delivery girls are caught up in a mysterious, fantastical circumstances that open the door for them to travel through time. To make things more complicated, the four girls find themselves in the middle of a war between battling factions of time travelers, now trapped in the future and hunted by the Old Watch. A militant group seeking to outlaw time travel, the girls must work together to get home. Can the group face the fate of their future selves and make things right? Now, that was a huge synopsis that explained quite a bit of it, so I really won't have to go over everything that explained. But yes, this takes place, or at least it starts in 1988, and it's about these four young girls who eventually time travel and end up meeting their future selves. And the show starts off with following Riley Lynette, in the show known as Erin. She's a young Asian girl who's there with her mom and her little sister. And this is her first day at the job as a paper girl. So she's getting everything ready. She's getting the newspapers ready. She's going to go out. And she ends up meeting the other paper girls. They're delivering the newspaper for their little town. And because this is Hell Night, right, which is the morning after Halloween. So they're sticking together. And all of a sudden, one of them gets attacked. And their walkie-talkie gets stolen. And then they try to go find it. By doing so, they end up in this abandoned home or home under construction where they meet this resistance group, and because of them, they end up getting taken and sent into the future with them because they're time travelers. Now, this is where the adventure really kicks off because they end up in 2019, and that's about 30 years later. One of the young Asian girl meets her older self. She finds out that she didn't accomplish what she wanted to accomplish as a young child. Like she was very ambitious as a child. She knows what she wanted to do. But she finds out that her older self didn't do any of this. And she ends up resenting her older self for not accomplishing things and not doing things a certain way. Even the fallout with her sister, she blames it on her older self and doesn't understand the situation, doesn't know what happened. But she feels like her older self is the reason why there's such resentment and everything went wrong in her life. So from this point, the girls are trying to figure out what the hell is going on. How do they get back to their own time? So, you know, they don't have to get involved too much. And also, not to mention that the people that Brandon ended up getting killed, right, by the other warring faction, which is the ones that wants to stop the time travel, they end up getting killed by them. And yeah, this series is very, very nice. Again, it is extremely well written for the most part. This is also, if I didn't mention this, but this is also based on a comic book series. And it's already done. That was a short comic book series run. It's already done. If you want to read the whole full story, I suggest you go buy that. But I'm just going to wait for season 2, hopefully. If there is no season 2, then I'll read the whole story. But yeah, this is definitely worthwhile. There was just one of the characters, the Tiffany character. She really pissed me off. She was beyond smug. It gets to a point where, I can't talk about it because it'll be spoilerish. So let me save that for spoilers. But so let me end it here. And let's just say that it's definitely worth watching. If you have Amazon Prime, check it out. It's part of your Prime subscription. You don't have to pay anything extra. It's definitely a worthwhile series. If you have a young girl or you have young children, doesn't matter if boy or girl, they will get something from this. And if you're an adult and you watch this, you will get something from this. It doesn't matter if you're a boy or girl. This show speaks to everybody. It doesn't leave anybody behind. It doesn't, you know, change anything for anybody. This is just well-written TV, well-written characters, well-written story. There is no SJW bullshit of hammering you down with, oh, because, you know, women this, because of women that, or men are this, men are that, or men have this, men have that, women don't have this. None of that bullshit is here. This is just well-written TV, well-written story. And it's great. I freaking love this. I want to support this show very much. Definitely worth your time. It's definitely worth you going out there and subscribing to it. And watching it. And giving your time to watch it. So with that, let's get right into it.
Well, it does have...
Yeah, spoilers!
Okay, now that we are in spoilers, let me just say that the Tiffany character, again, really pissed me off. She just drove me nuts on how arrogant she really is and how obnoxious she is, because she's the smart one in the room. You know, she feels that she's smarter than anybody. She finds out that she ends up becoming and opening up her own foundation or her own school, university, whatever it is, right? And she just ends up becoming a pain in the ass, especially when she meets her older self. She finds out that her older self not only didn't finish college, right? Like she wanted to, but she also, that she actually got expelled from it because of her hijinks and because of the way things were being done in the college or in the university. That they didn't want no new ideas. They didn't want no new anything. Gee, what a shocker. They just wanted the same old thing, nothing new. They didn't want nobody to speak out. They just wanted you to sit there, listen, and agree. And she goes, that's not my life. I'm doing my own thing now. I'm having fun. I'm opening, you know, I'm starting this new foundation, this business, and I'm going to get involved. And the younger version of herself is happy about it, but at the same time, she's resentful because she feels like she's leaving stuff out, right? And she finds her speech of her high school graduation, and she's just watching it, and she's in love with it. She also finds out that her older self tells her that she's adopted, that her mother's not really her mother. And because of it, she felt, because her mother let her know that during college, it kind of messed her up as a young adult, and that's the reason she started acting up, which is kind of a cop-out, which she calls her on to. That's just fucking bullshit, which I do like that, but it's also the way the young girl is being portrayed, the way her attitude is, really gets me under my skin. which just makes me want to like shut up. But yeah, overall that character is really, it's really good. She's extremely smart. She does know her stuff, but it's extremely annoying at the same time. But she does grow as a character. And that's another thing that a lot of these other characters do also. As the show goes on, as the series goes on, they do grow as characters. They do grow as people. They do become, you know, more self-aware, more things, because they want to get back. But how do they get back? And there's this other, the fourth girl who's Jewish, who's trying to find her way. Top of that, she's self-conscious of her, because of herself, because she's also gay, right? You find out she doesn't meet herself, but she sees herself, and she sees herself with her girlfriend in the future, where she finds out, oh snap, I'm gay. You know, she can't accept that reality yet because she's so young. She doesn't know how to accept it because she's seeing something that technically she shouldn't see, and it's her future self. Because she hasn't come to terms with who she is yet, she's having a hard time dealing with that part. And all these little stories are brilliant. Not to mention the future scenarios with the people that are hunting them from the future to try to put them back in their, you know, in their original timeline. It's just, again, awesome storytelling. And I truly do love this. You need to watch this. And if you still here listening to me, stop this right now and go watch it, because this is where I'm ending it, this episode of this podcast. And thank you all for listening until now. Thank you for constantly coming back. For those of you who do come back, and if you're new here, thank you for staying this long. I hope you enjoy my banter. I hope you enjoy my thoughts on these shows. And if you, again, find anything wrong, or that I missed something, or that I'm not understanding something, let me know on Twitter, jailplay78. Or by email, jailplacepodcast@gmail.com. And if once again, if you're on Patreon, let me know on the comment section. And with that, thank you all for coming. And remember, leave the world a little bit better than how you found it.